This is Wade Rathke. It's Friday morning. This is Wade's World. We're on KBF. That means it's 9 a.m. in the morning. We're going from 9 to 9:30. Wade's World's on every Friday. KABF FM 88.3, www.kabf.org, so that you're live streaming. By Monday or Tuesday, there'll be a podcast up on our website. We're 100,000 watts of people power. Wade's World, we talk to the most interesting people in the world every week. And this week, I'm very, very proud and lucky. I've got a handful of people with me on Wade's World. I've got the whole crew from Warren, Arkansas. I got Larry Smith with me, Ruthie Davis, Shamika Marshall, and Big Tony Orr here, a bunch of local 100 activists who've built a wonderful union in the Developmental Center in Warren, Arkansas. I'm going to start with Larry, because Larry just got elected as president of the local branch down there with Local 100. Larry, Shamika, Ruthie, Tony, welcome to Wade's World.
Thank you.
Okay, that's going to be the high point of the show. Now we're going to get into it. So Larry, we've had an amazing experience down there in Warren. How long have you been working at the facility there?
Well, Wade, I've been working there at the Human Development Center for 12 and a half years, I believe.
And I think you were telling me earlier, teacher's assistant?
Yes, I worked with, I'm a teacher assistant out there, and I worked in the Pinewood Village, where I, in this the vocational part of the facility, where I take work with the clients hands-on, take them, getting them ready for transitioning them out of into the community.
So first we're going to find out more about what actually happens in Warren. A lot of people don't know about these things, and we'll get into the union in a minute. So you're also a teacher's assistant, I think you were telling me, Ruthie?
Yes, I am. I'm a teacher's assistant. I've been at the Human Development Center for 16 years. And the class that I'm in, we teach the living skills.
So that's, is that towards independent living, just independent. Like you're on the vocation side, it sounds like, and you're on the, okay. And what's your job, Shamika?
I'm a rehab instructor, and I've been there two strong whole years.
You're a baby girl. You're a baby girl in this group. We got some seniority here.
Oh, yeah. In my classroom, we teach behavior modification. We try to modify behavior, you know, keep it down a little bit.
So how large is the population that we serve in the Warren Center?
Okay, I'm thinking this way, it's between 97 and 99 that we are serving right now.
So it's not a huge clientele, but we have a fairly large workforce there, I think, don't we?
Yes, I'm thinking that we have maybe like 160 or 170 something employees there.
So that's a pretty good ratio. And the center's been in the Warren area for a number of years, as I recall. If you've been there 16 years, had it been? Did you open it up?
No, I did. It was there when I started.
Do you know, Tony, how old is the facility?
I know it has to be at least, you know, you're looking about 30, maybe 40 years, because I worked at the Ark of Death Human Development Center back in I started in 1988, and Warren was there then.
And we started organizing this union in Arkansas originally around 1984, 85, in that period. And Warren was there then, because when we looked at the list of human development centers, I know there was one in Warren.
Right.
So for those people who are listening around the world, where in the world is Warren, Arkansas?
Okay, Warren is on Highway 63, and it's about 45 miles south of Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
And Pine Bluff's about 48, 50 miles from Little Rock. Right. So that gives us a range there. And the famous highway is obviously Highway 61, thanks to Bob Dylan. He had the album named it. So you just must be a little bit over to the west from 61, the way the numbers run.
I guess so.
Whatever you say on Wade's World, whatever you say, Wade. Like I say, I got a good group today. That's my kind of people. Now, what's amazing to us, now that you've given us some sense of the clientele in the center, in a fairly short period of time, y'all have built, within Local 100 of the United Labor Union, sort of a model local union branch down there. And How did you do that? Shamika, they're looking at you, but I know it's been going on past 2 years. Now, they're all pointing to each other. Now you're going now my radio people are going to wish this was TV. This would be funny, but I feel, tell us how we did it,
Shamika. I feel we all had a common core. We want equality in the workplace. Everybody wanted to be treated equally, you know, regardless, you know, if they're in the house or if they're in the, even in some people in the administration building want to be treated equally. And that's, and I believe that's why we became so strong, because we all believed in one thing, wanted equality.
And I'm guessing the other part of that is there must not have been inequality, which is why you were organizing. Let's go ahead and tell it all now.
Yeah.
So people wanted equality, but clearly there were some issues that, and what were some of those issues, if you could share it? No names.
Oh, no.
I'm just kidding you. I don't care what you say here.
I guess saying that, you know, my voice couldn't be heard compared to someone who's been there, or a buddy been there, and they hear their voice, you know. We wonder why I come.
So there was favoritism, is what you're saying.
Well, yeah, in some departments there were favoritism.
And did that show up in how, in shifts and discipline and wages? How did it manifest itself, this favoritism?
Well, I've only been there 2 years. Just from my viewpoint, I've seen just far as in the classroom department, just certain people get their ways differently than others. I should put it like that.
And is that what you all have seen too, Larry and Ruth?
Yes, I mean, over the years, just like Shamika was saying a second ago, over the years it's been a bunch of old favoritism. If you don't work for this person, then you don't get the same grace that person get.
Gotcha.
So basically I'm agreeing with what Shamika just said.
I feel the same way too. It is a lot of favoritism, you know. This person might, y'all start out on the same equal level, but you look around, this person went to the next step, and you know you're doing better than this person
right.
in the first place. And you look around, they done got on top, and you still where you were.
Picks and chooses, you know. It's often what you see in some of these jobs, because a lot of people think, hey, they're state employees, you know, there's a procedure. Why would they even need a union? But y'all really came together and decided you had to do something about it. How did that work? To start just one or two of you, or, you know.
I guess it started from Henrietta Collins.
Henrietta Collins, okay.
Henrietta started.
Tell us about Miss Collins, Sister Collins.
The only thing I say about Miss Collins is she's loved, and everybody at the center admires her. She does a good job in what she does. She caught on to Tony some type of way. I don't know how her and Tony.
We'll find out.
I don't know how that came
and
about.
No secret's going to be
but
known here.
Anyway.
And she's a force of nature.
I've
met Miss Collins. I'm sorry she's not here with us, but she'll go right up to you and ask you why you're not in the union. You know, she's no wilting flower saying, oh, well, maybe they'll come along someday, but she'll go right up and put the question to you, too. Now, how long had Henrietta Collins been working at the center? Do you know?
Oh, I think she's over 16 years, almost 20. I think she's close to 20 years, maybe a little bit more.
Well, Ruthie, was she there? Do you remember if she was there when you came on?
She was there, then she left and she came back.
Came back. Okay, so who knows how the seniority over a period of time. She helped put bricks into place.
Right.
And what's her job there?
She's a rehab instructor.
Okay, rehab as well. So Miss Collins was important. How did you and Miss Collins link up, Tony Orr? Tony's the state director for Local 189 Labor Unions out of Little Rock.
Well, it was one of those situations where, you know, when I first started as in Arkansas, I was limited into a lot of places I went, and one day I looked and there was a solicitation day for Warren. So,
what is a solicitation day?
A solicitation day is where a vendor can actually go into a state facility for that day and talk to state employees. It was just limited to
insurance companies,
but We went and applied for a state vendor license. The state gave it to us, which opened the door for us to go anywhere that we were allowed to get in. And so I went down to Warren, and at first I was not met with a warm embrace. But all of a sudden, you know, I'm sitting there, and a young man named Kenneth Ridgel, he was the first person I met. We talked. He used to be an old, he was a union member at Potlatch, which is a facility down in Warren, and I talked to him.
The timber industry.
Right, and I talked to him, and he said, I need for you to talk to this one lady. So he goes and gets Henrietta Collins.
Oh, okay.
And Henrietta comes over, she started talking, and she started rattling off this list of everything going on, y'all. There was injustice in administrative, people were getting disciplined, nobody knew their policies. There was just an abuse of people who, you know, it was like, if you don't know what's going on, I'm going to take advantage of you. And Henrietta started talking, and she said that I want to change things. On that day, she signed up. She got Kenneth Ridgel to sign up. And by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, she had came back. I think that's the day I called. We had actually signed up like 19 people. And
that was a career day for you.
That was
you,
a career day.
That was your LeBron day.
Yes. And then I started coming down like every couple of weeks. We were actually meeting in the Housing Authority building. You know, we was renting that building out for a day. And we started meeting at the bank in Warren every Saturday. And she would, you know, and it was just people coming. And
how long ago was that, Tony?
About 2 years ago.
Okay, so this is all pretty quick, really, yeah. You know.
Mm-hmm. And the one thing they found out, and it was still kind of wait and see attitude until we actually got into a couple of grievances that we won. We actually got in, and
I want to hold on the grievances because in some ways there's a classic organizing story I'm going to share with you that's so much like this connection to Henrietta Collins. Cesar Chavez, who was the organizer with the farm workers, and now there's a, you know, there's a Cesar Chavez Day that's recognized and a lot of streets named after him. There was an organizer, in this case a community organizer, named Fred Ross, who kept hearing, was organizing in this neighborhood in California, in Fresno, and he was talking just like Tony was talking to somebody, and they kept telling him, you know, who you really need to talk to is this fellow Cesar Chavez. He's always talking about things in the neighborhood. Fred Ross kept hearing his name, Cesar Chavez. Well, the first time he went to try to find him at his house and talk to him, he didn't have the kind of great experience Tony Orr had talking to Henrietta Collins, where she put her arms around him and said, sit down, man, I got a list for you. First time he went there, he sent one of the kids out and says, no, I'm not home. You know? He was home. It was one of those where, you know, we've all been there in door knocking where you know somebody's in the back and you're looking at some 8-year-old saying, no, daddy not home, you know, and no, mama's not here, and no, nobody's here, and you're out. And Fred Ross, the second, you know, he didn't actually catch Chavez to talk to him, to have a visit, until the third time he went around the side of the house and caught him running out the back of the house to avoid him. Started talking to him, and of course the rest is history, I'm going to say. You know, it turned out Chavez became, you know, an organizer himself and a great leader in the Latino community, particularly among laborers, but also right. as an inspiration for others. So that's such a close story to him. You know, it's often that first couple of contacts and following up. The lesson for organizers is always follow up. When you hear somebody, my rule's always been, you hear some name 3 times, you better make a point to find
right,
that person.
Right.
For y'all, you know, it's, hey, you know, the organizer's around, let's go. But you were, before I started on this story, you were about to tell some of the grievances that started pulling people together once they started
right.
joining.
And once we started winning some of the grievances, there were a couple of people who got fired. Miss Rose, who works in the kitchen, she got fired. We got her job back.
Tony, what kind of issue was she fired about?
Well,
what does it take to get fired even on a job like
really
this?
Really nothing. It's basically that if they don't like you, and that's the way it was.
Back
that's
to
the
favoritism of picks and chooses we're talking about
that's
now.
The way it was operating. they didn't like her, so they terminated her. She got in contact with me. Within a month, we had her back working, you know, with back pay. Once that started happening, and we were just telling the story earlier in during the session of
the stewards.
With the stewards, of how proud we were of when I go to Warren, when they know I'm coming down for a solicitation day, all three of these fine people here, they make sure they have their Local 100 t-shirts on. And they, I mean, they walk through the administration building. They walk around campus, and, you know, and it's like the fear.
100 in the house,
yeah,
huh?
The fear is not there anymore, you know, because they know that we as an organization are standing behind them, but more importantly, they stand together with themselves to make this change. And so that's what, you know, that's why Warren is, you know it is a special place in my heart for the work they do.
The way it's been growing in Warren, it's a special place in my heart. We were talking earlier about the greater Warren Local 100, you know, the satellite office that Tony works out in Little Rock. So, no, you know where I'm coming from, and that's why. You know, not a surprise. That's why Henrietta Collins is now vice president of this union.
Yes.
And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see her as president soon. This is, you got to look for real people. Now, so you started with these 19 members in one day. Now, what's happened since then?
You know.
We have almost 190 workers or whatever Larry was saying. So what number of members are we up to at this
point? I think we're right at 70. Right at 70 members.
So we're knocking on the door for a majority almost
right,
at this point.
Right.
And it's just steady,
it's steady
pushing the wheel down. Huh?
Right. Where it used to be, we were mainly getting the workers in the classrooms and in the living units. Now we have workers from the administration building. We have workers from the kitchen. We have workers on the grounds crew. So we're running the gamut of the whole Human Development Center.
Today on Wage World, we're talking to Larry Smith, to Ruthie Davis, Shamika Marshall, all stewards down at Warren, Arkansas, at the Developmental Center down there. They're stewards with Local 100 of the United Labor Unions. And we have Tony Orr, who also hosts a workplace show here on KBF, who's the state director of Local 100. And what we're talking about, these are times where people say nobody wants a union, unions are dying. They've had the opposite experience in the same period of time, last 2 years. They've really built a union from scratch there. And you're saying that we've done a good job, and you were telling an example of somebody's getting fired. But obviously, are you getting less favoritism? Are you getting more respect? If that's part of what brought people together, where are we now after 2 years? Shamika?
From the time I met him, I can kind of see a little change. I can honestly see a little change. You don't have people breathing down your back. They look like they think twice before they start saying stuff to us, or, you know, throwing these policies out, and they make sure they read it themselves, make sure they had, you know, have things right. And I have seen a lot of change within them 2 years.
Is there less favoritism, though? Because that's a hard thing to get rid of, you know? That's a sneaky thing sometimes.
Yeah, we still see it, but it's not as out there.
You got to hide it better,
you're
saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, has there been this sort of arbitrary and capricious firings like the one you were telling us about?
Oh, no. That stopped real quick. We always make the joke is that before they do discipline in Warren now, the first thing they want to know is that person they're going to discipline is that, are they a union member? You know, because if they're a union member, they know the first thing that they're going to do the minute they get that paper for discipline is they're going to call Henrietta. Henrietta's going to call me. Then they're going to hear from me. And, you know, and so.
They're actually recruiting for the union now, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, you can either change, which they seem like they hadn't done completely yet, or you can, you know, if they don't change, that keeps building us stronger and stronger.
Yes, yes.
So. How else does it start to, you know, are there other state employees anywhere in the Warren area? I mean, are people starting to hear about this? I thought at one point you mentioned to me you were starting to get almost a ripple effect from this.
Yes, I think during one of the sessions today, the young lady was talking about the nursing home in Monticello. The one thing we, you know, we always talk about doing our monthly meetings at Warren is branching out into the nursing homes. There's quite a few, a lot of nursing homes in that area. So it's just a natural transition from the nursing home to the Human Development Center and vice versa. So we're trying to move out into there. The Affordable Care Act, the grant afforded us the opportunity to go to, there's a Head Start there, a UAMS Head Start. At Warren, there's a home health care facility there in Warren at the health center.
That's so, state funded?
Yes. Okay. So that's giving us opportunity. And that's one the great thing about this leadership is now Larry, Shamika, and Ruthie, they can actually go out and to these places and get that experience to go out and talk to some of these other state agencies where they can get them signed up. That's the one thing Henrietta Collins does. She signs people up on a consistent basis every month, which helps grow the union.
So there must be, you know, as you start to grow, bigger goals you have for what could really improve situations at Warren Development Center. So what are we really looking at? When you start talking about what if we all got together, what we might be able to really do here that's different, what do y'all dream about here if you had a little bit more power on a job? Is it better patient care? Better patient care. What kind of word? I'm getting too excited here with my member people. Is it better patient care? Is it a revision of the wage scale? Is it fair evaluations? Is it more input on the job in terms of care? Is it your voice being clearer and louder? All of these things. I mean, I know when you all really talk about how to look at change, you're thinking about some of these things. So maybe I'm not asking a question, but try to help me.
I feel like if they hear our voice, that's the first step, you know. We see this firsthand. We know what's going on. If you hear us, that's going to start something, you know. So if my voice is heard, then my clients can have a better care because I know what needs to be done. Then I can come to work happier because I know how to feel to come to work. So if they listen to us, that's the main thing, to listen to our voice. And that would probably solve, listen to us would probably solve a lot of things, you know, because we know firsthand.
That's right. Ruthie, were you about to say something on that too?
I agree totally with her. If they, cause we work with the clients every day. We know how they, you know, operate, and we know when something wrong with them. All they do is sit and listen. We be telling y'all something wrong with them. Sometimes they don't listen.
And that's the thing right there. Like Ruthie just said, we hands-on with them for 8 hours a day, and we got the people in the front office in Building 1 sitting back making the calls but not seeing what's going on. And actually how it goes is we don't have any protocol. It's their way or no way. So I just sit back now and just
and let's be honest.
Do my 8 hours and
the latent powers we have on this job is the families of these clients.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is one of the things we never talk about much, but the sort of atomic bomb that we never usually have to set is they know, even in these front offices, even these corporate headquarters where we represent some of the developmental centers that are private sector and group homes, the real truth is their families know if they weren't for the workers doing the extra things to care for their loved ones, it'd be a whole different world. What you teach, what you help people do, and just the love. Let's be honest about it. The love a lot of these clients have for, you know, 16 years? I mean, come on, man. You know the relationships. That they don't know the big boss from Adam. You know, but they know you, and when they come to visit, or people go on the holidays, and this is that kind of relationship. Maybe I'm disclosing a secret here. We don't use it often in the union, but that's a power because it's that personal relationship with these clients. And this is not a job for everyone. This is a job where if y'all didn't have that kind of respect and care for those clients, you couldn't do it. And the families know what you do, and there's a big heartfelt thanks every time you see them. I know that's true.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing that's true is a lot of people say, well, you guys are public employees, right? What? You can't bargain for wages. Why do you want to be in a union if it's not wages? People don't understand how much it is what we call respect and dignity, that voice, that ability to be listened to. And people don't listen to us even about organizing a union. Sometimes they don't realize, like you were saying, Jamaica, that hey, if they listen to us, it might solve 80% of the problems. But that's still, they don't get it. They're thinking, oh, they must want another nickel or dime, or, you know, it's a strange thing. And you see this in other facilities as well, right, Tony?
And Warren is I think the second smallest outside of Boonville. You know, the Conway Human Development Center has
it's huge.
But the one thing that we try to emphasize as a union here in the state of Arkansas is that it's all about, like Jamaica said, it's all about dignity. It's all about, you know, I have a voice, it should be heard. Don't silence me up, you know, because you don't want to, you know, you don't want to listen to me. And so we have really pushed to emphasize to our members or to prospective members that you do have this voice, that you do have this opportunity to exact change, and this is how you do it. And it's been very effective, and that's why Warren, they grab hold of the reins. And what I love about it is that they do this themselves.
I know that.
They push themselves. When they have meetings, they run the meetings. And, you know, there's a camaraderie. We got together for Christmas. Then we got together for a cookout not too long ago. It's all family-oriented. And
we have a good delegation here in Dallas for the leadership conference from Warren.
They were excited.
In New Orleans last year. So Warren represents. Now, Warren's not a big town, is it?
No, it's not. I think Larry, you said it's about 6,000. About 6,000 people.
So the one thing people always say is there's no way you can have a strong union in some little pee-pick town of 6,000 people. You know, and when I look at Larry, he's the president of our little chapter. Am I looking for a candidate for mayor when I talk to him? He's shaking his head. You see this on TV. We should have had this one on TV. But so it's not a big town. So in some ways, the kind of spirit and unity y'all are projecting, you could not change just the facility. You could change the whole community. There's something more than tomatoes in Warren now. Now that's what Warren's known for, aren't they? Big tomato festival.
In fact, this past week was this.
It's going on now.
This weekend.
Oh, there you go. Well, I know you're brokenhearted. So, you know, there's a big, I'm sorry, let's think so, that you're here in Dallas with us and not getting enough tomatoes. Now, there's a lot of migrant labor that comes in to help pick that. So that's a lot of, I know at one point there's a growing Latino population down in the Warren area that comes in to help pick. Is that still true or no?
Yes, that's true. They usually come in about the middle of May, and I've seen hundreds of them within the last two or three weeks. I mean, that's, you know, going out, either they are getting the fields ready or they are, like right now, they picking, because I know they got boxes of tomatoes there this weekend in Warren, so, I mean, they there.
And be careful, because I bet their living and working conditions aren't too good. When they start hearing us on the radio, we'll try to keep it in English right now. They may be knocking on your door. I may be looking at a lot of little Cesar Chavez's right here in this table. We've been talking to Larry Smith, Ruthie Davis, Jamaica Marshall, and Tony Orr about the very amazing and just exciting success that they've had building a strong local union at the Warren Development Center down there in the southern part of Arkansas. And this is a lesson. That's why I'm so glad y'all all could be on Wage World, because this is on the podcast, whatever else. This is a good inspiration for a lot of people in a lot of places that say, hey, you know what? If Jamaica and Larry and Ruthie and whoever this is, there's going to be a lot of people looking for the one that's not here. Saying, let me see if I can get Henrietta. Henrietta, who's got a name like Henrietta? They're going to remember Henrietta Collins. If I can get her here to my town, what might be happening? It won't be just Arkansas. This has been Wade's World. It's 88.3 FM. It's KABF. That means it's www.kabf.org. You can hear the same interview with these great stewards from Local 100 in Warren, Arkansas on a podcast. Just go on our website, www.kabf.org, click Wade's World, and that's where you're going to find them, clear as a bell. It's been just an honor and excitement for me to have y'all. We're going to be on again next Friday, and we're going to talk to somebody else among the most interesting people in the world. Thank you all.
Thank you, Wade. Thank you.